Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
The better question that we're doing a series on asking the better question. Today we're talking about opting out of wisdom. What we talked about last week, I want to review a little bit if you weren't here, but we talked about what is the wise thing for me to do. If you would just ask that question, whenever you're going to do something, what is the wise thing for me to do? And so last week we kind of teased this out a little bit, and it says, in light of my past experience, not everybody else's past experience, everybody has a past. And in light of that past experience, what happened last time she called and you went over there? What happened last time they went here and you went? In light of your, not everybody else's, because we're all different, but in light of your past experience, what is a wise thing for me to do? In light of your present circumstance, last time you all did that, it's before you got married and it's before you had two kids. But now you're married and you've got two kids, so what's the wise thing for you to do in light of your present circumstances? And then the most powerful one, at least to me, in light of my future hopes and dreams, where do I hope to be 10, 20 years from now? In light of that, what is a wise thing for me to do? And so I think that our greatest regrets could have been avoided. And if you resist that kind of talk, what we talked about last week, that kind of thinking, if you kind of resist that, it could be well be that you don't have your best interest in mind. Somebody says, hey, just get off my case, man. Quit talking to me about that. I'll do what I want to do. Well, if you aren't willing to ask yourself the wise thing to do, it could be that you don't have your best interest in mind. And so if you don't want to ask those kind of questions, you're opting out of wisdom. And when I see that people opt out of wisdom, I put it into three categories. There's probably more than that, but the three that I saw was, number one, got your bulletin out. Number one, the simple. The simple are people who are naive, clueless, or lack experience. And I don't mean to offend anyone this morning, if you're younger, but how many of you had wish life's problems would have happened to you when you were 21, when you had all the answers? How many know what I'm talking about? It's not an evil thing. It's just a lack of experience thing. It's not a dumb or stupid. No. It's none of those things. It's just lack of experience. And Proverbs chapter 7, I won't take time to read the whole, that verses 6 through 27, but the first couple of verses, there are 6 and 7, said, Solomon says, at the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed a young man, a youth, who lack judgment. And then the rest of those verses just go into the kind of horrific trouble this naive guy got into. He found himself, he got all messed up. And at the end of those verses, Solomon says, it's like an ox going to the slaughter. How many, when that cow gets off that cattle truck, it just thinks it's going to go eat somewhere. It doesn't know it's going to the slaughter. And he says, it's like a bird not knowing that it's going to be get caught in the snare. So he says, the simple are naive. And so I got a little jingle I want to play for you. Came across it the other day. And if you're a millennial, I don't mean to offend you, and I'm sorry. But roll it, Austin.
Ding, ticka, ding, ticka, ding, 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 ding. There he sits inside your local coffee shop, sporting a mane bun and facial hair. Somehow he believes, although he has no job, that by his 30s he will be a millionaire. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. She posts lots of selfies on her Instagram with the quote that's inspirational. Hopes to change the world while wearing yoga pants, armed with her dreams and knowledge of essential oils. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. 27 years old, trying to make it on their own. Maybe stop by leaving your parents' home, but maybe we're just wrong. Ha ha ha. Criticism isn't easy for their ears. They feel like they know most everything. See, they grew up with undeserved confidence, 'cause they got trophies just for participating. M-I-L-L-E-N, M-I-A-L, gotta love millennials. M-I-L-L-E-N, M-I-A-L, gotta love millennials. In a couple of years, we will have to pass the torch. In a couple of years, they will be in charge, and one will be our president.
Oh, no.
M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L, gotta love millennials. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L, help, please pray for millennials.
Okay. Who's laughing the hardest is all us old people. You know what I'm saying? I showed that to a millennial and he said, you know, you're the old dudes that gave us the trophies. So don't, guys, that's why you want to go with your son or daughter the first time they buy a car. I remember Jeff when he was in school, he was married, he might have had a baby, maybe Josiah had been born, but he was going to go buy a car and save for 3 years for it. And I went to California to help him. Because how many of you know it's just scary to send your child, even though he's a grown boy, to the car dealership or to the mechanic shop or to somewhere? You just want to be there because they're not dumb by any stretch, just inexperienced. And so some people are, they're just, instead of opting for wisdom, they're just inexperienced. And they say, you know, come on, Dad. Come on, Pastor. Nothing's going to happen. You worry too much. You're just old-fashioned, and you're a funny, and you worry too much. Nothing's going to happen. And I want to say, how do you know that? What do you mean nothing's going to happen? I've seen 10 times where something did happen. Come on, I can handle it. Don't worry about things. And see, and the truth of it is, some of us that have been around a while have been so deeply in debt that you couldn't hardly make a house payment. I had to borrow money from my life insurance policy one time to pay my utilities. And when you face debt like that, you just are scared to death of debt because you've been there, done that. And so some of this experience, and some have never just had a broken heart where you felt like there was no tomorrow. And so it's not dumb by any stretch. It's just lack of experience. And the truth is, I think you can have it both ways. I think you can have the energy, the zeal of youth, and then still have the wisdom of the ages because the scripture is full of it. You never don't trade for what you want most for what you want in the moment. Never trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. Number two is the fool. Now, these are not my words. These are Solomon's fool words. The fool is one who knows but just doesn't care. Now, you think the millennials was offensive. It's the guy that says, I know. You're not going to tell me anything. I know, but I'm not going to do it. Don't you know those things will kill you? I can read. I read the side of the package. Yes, it's harmful to my health. I know, but I just don't give a whatever your language would say. Mine would say, don't give a rip. I know the words have changed in the last. I don't give a rip. I know. You're not going to tell me anything. I just don't care. Now, that's a fool. Proverbs 26:11. This is just a gross scripture. As a dog returns to his vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Did you ever see your sweet little dog, little Fifi? No, that's the cat. Fifi's the cat, but little whatever the dog's name is. And he holds you and he licks you and you just like him. And then throws up and then runs right back and eats it. Who remembers the first time seeing that gross sight? And you think, what's wrong with you, dog? I'm going to never hold you again. But that's what Paul, I get so confused. That's what Solomon said that a fool does. Returns to his vomit, so a fool to his folly. They repeat themselves. Don't tell me what to do. They know the consequences. They're just not going to do it. It's why in court, a judge that sees you've been here over and over and over again, he knows you're a fool because you keep doing the same things over and over and over again. That's why they want to know, do you have any priors? If you've got no prayers, you just might be simple. But if you got lots of prayers, you're no simple, you're a fool. Because you get in the same problems over and over again. Proverbs 10:23 says, a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. They find that it's fun. Have you ever known anybody to get out of a bad relationship? Maybe out of a bad marriage? And heck, it wasn't 6 months until they're right into the same kind of thing with the same kind of person. And you want to say, what's wrong with you? She finally breaks up with this guy, and 6 months later, she's dating someone just like him. All of us old guys say, what's wrong with you? Don't do it. But it's fun. And Proverbs says, that's a fool. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. Repeating offenses, it's just not the simple. The simple get into trouble for just because they're simple. Fools, they know better. And don't tell me. I know. It's the know-it-all. Look at Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise. For the companion of fools suffers harm. The companion, the parent of fools suffer harm. The spouse of a fool is the one that suffers harm. The wife, the husband, the child of foolish parents suffer harm. See, it's the people's foolishness blinds, their selfishness blinds them to their foolishness. Just so incredibly selfish that they don't see how damaging other people. See, I might trust my kids 100%. I might have wise kids. But if they're in the companion of fools, I tell you, the wise kids are the ones that suffer. No, I trust my child. They never do anything. He's just driving with an idiot that drives drunk. Who do you think suffers in that? The companion of fools. And that's what Solomon is saying. The companion of fools suffers harm. And guys, if they don't care about themselves, listen to me. If they don't care about themselves, they're not going to care about you. If he doesn't care about his own finances, they're not going to be worried about yours. If he's not concerned for his own body, do you think he's going to be worried about yours? If he's not concerned for his own reputation, do you think he cares about yours? No, that's why the companion of fools suffer. So you opt out of wisdom, you won't ask the better question. Instead of asking, what's the wise thing for me to do? I know it. And I don't care, and I'll just suffer the consequences. And you say, you know, last time you did that, it was really awful. I know. You were out of commission for 3 weeks. I know. The third one is the mocker. The mocker is one who is critical, cynical, or condescending. When you opt out of wisdom, you might be just simple. You might be a fool, or this one I think is the worst, is a mocker. They hide themselves behind being judgmental, being cynical, being critical of every single thing that happens. Probably there's not many mockers here because you can't stand listening to this kind of stuff long enough to even sit there. Do you ever know anybody? They just criticize everything, and they defend themselves by being so cynical and critical. Proverbs calls those people mockers. And it says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes a wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. The constant berating, the constant criticizing, the constant putting you down. They keep everybody else off balance by their picking. That's a mocker. And it's almost impossible to have a relationship with one. If you're married to a mocker, I pity you. If your parents are mockers, I pity you. If your boss is a mocker, he never will be happy. She never will be happy. I pity you because there's just not much you can do. It's just hard to have a relationship with any of those. Letter A in your bulletin there, the cure for the simple is time. The cure for simple is just give them some time. We all grow up. I remember when I got my driver's license when I was 16 years old. I turned 16 on Friday, and my dad was busy, so couldn't take me down there. I had to wait till Monday. Can you believe such abuse? So when I got my driver's license, it was in Casa Grande, and you pull up to the DMV, and you go in there and take the test, and I think there was a little driving thing you even take. And so I had my driver's license, and so I get in the car with my driver's license. My dad was sitting in the passenger seat, and as if to there was a street. I was parked here where like my notes are, and there was a street here. And I wanted to go down that street, so I just backed up right through the middle of a busy intersection. And my dad said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm going down this street." He said, "You need to go and then turn around." I said, "No, that takes too long." He said, "Son, you can't back through an intersection." I said, "I just did. See, nothing's going to happen." See, I know this stuff. And so, but for the innocent and for the simple, it just takes time. Give them some experience. Hopefully you learn lessons on small things, not big things. Hopefully, anyway. So it's just time. Letter B, the cure for a fool is tragedy. Just give them enough time and they'll hit rock bottom. They'll run out of relationships. They'll just do so many stupid things, nobody will want to be around them. They'll be. It's just dangerous to be around those kind of people. Tragedy. We call it in AA, it's called hitting rock bottom. It's when you get to the end of yourself. When a fool finally realizes, "I've been a fool," they show up to church. That's when they're looking for Jesus. They're not looking for Jesus. They know all the answers before. And finally, at some point in your life, you say, "Lord, I need help." Ha-ha. And that's the cure. And you're not going to get them before that. The cure for a mocker, letter C, is isolation. Don't try to fix them. No, we're going to bring them in. You bring them in, and the whole place gets messed up. You try to get close to a mocker, and they'll attack you. So the cure for a mocker is isolation. Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean what Proverbs 22 says, throw out the mocker. And fighting goes too. Quarrels and insults will disappear. You know what the problem is? Sometimes in your little group that you just can't get along, somebody there is a mocker, and they keep taking shots at everything that's happening. I know you're all trying to think of who that mocker is. You may never come over that. Just make sure it ain't you, if you know what I'm saying. Titus 3:10 says, reject a divisive man after the first and second warning. It says, just reject him. Once you've warned a guy a couple times, and I'm not talking about somebody with honest questions and those kind of things, but a flat-out mocker. Stay away. Stay away. Don't try to be the hero and fix him. Look at the little bullet points there. It says, correct the simple, and they won't get you. They'll say, "Oh, you're just kind of old-fashioned. You're too worried." But if that's what you think, they'll probably placate you, but they may listen to you, but they won't get you. They may think you're kind of strange, but they won't get you. Correct the fool, and they'll ignore you. You know, I don't think you ought to be doing that. All right, is it any of your business? I'm going to do what I want to do. When you hear words like that, and again, I'm not talking somebody off the street coming and getting in your grill and telling you what you ought to do. I'm talking people out of in relationship. When you say, "Ooh, I don't know if you ought to buy that. Why don't you mind your own business?" You're probably dealing with a fool because they know and they just, and it's, I know it all, and they'll ignore you. Correct a mocker and they'll attack you. Henry Cloud says, when you're dealing with a mocker, he says, lawyer up. Lawyer up and call the cops. "Well, Pastor, I just had some really honest questions. What about when my child, and you're dealing with a mocker, you talk through my attorney?" Pastor, yes, because they'll attack you, and they'll bankrupt you if they get a chance. Pastor, they wouldn't. Yes, they would. Lawyer up. Cloud calls them guns and lawyers. And I'm not saying you got to get a gun, but you do need the police, probably. And correct the wise, and they'll thank you. Correct the wise. You know what the wise do? "Wow, thank you. I appreciate that. I never saw it that way before." You know, you're dealing with somebody wise. And again, I'm not talking about just somebody off the street coming and telling you what you ought to do, but people that you're in a relationship with. When you get corrected, a wise person says, "Wow, thank you." They'll thank you. They're not defensive because wise people are learners. They're always learning. If you're a wise person, it's because you're a learner. Proverbs 9:8 says, rebuke the wise and they will thank you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. So what are you? See, those are opting out of those the better questions. If you're going to opt out of wisdom, I think you're going to fall in one of those three categories. The simple, a fool, or a mocker. And so Solomon, the wisest guy that ever lived, had insight. I tell you, when you're dealing with somebody who's not just smart intellectually, and it's good to be intellectually smart and all that, but somebody really wise. When you're around somebody really wise, I want to be doing the shutting up and the listening and not doing the talking. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get around somebody with a lot of wisdom, I get really quiet because you want to soak up everything they've got to say. I've had the privilege of being around some really wise people in my day. And when we're having lunch, having dinner or something, I tell you what, I'm not doing the talking, I'm doing the listening. And so Solomon had something to say about people opting out for wisdom. Oh, Jesus, help you hear it this morning. And so people that get stuck in a category too long, it's fine to be simple. I mean, when we're younger, we just are. You know, when we didn't have any kids, you were sure how to raise them. And then these kids come along. And then when your kids are toddlers or youngsters, you say, well, you know how to raise teenagers. And Lord have mercy, when your kids hit teenagers, all of a sudden you're not such an expert, are you? So I understand, but if you're stuck in any one of these too long, we've all said, I know, don't tell me. And then hopefully when we don't have to hit bottom, we just hit the wall or a bump once or twice, and we get smarter and start asking, what is the wise thing for me to do? So Solomon talks about wisdom. And he refers to her in the feminine. He says, this is, she calls out. Now, guys, this is not God talking. Proverbs 1 is not the Lord and his voice speaking to people. This is not God. This is wisdom. This is life. This is how life works. Oh, this is how life works. You hear it? I never get a chance, and I never got this, and I never got that. But this is how life works. And so Solomon lays it out in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to start reading with verse 20. The whole first chapter is wonderful, but we're going to start with verse 20. It says, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On the top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gates, she makes her speech. He says, wisdom's everywhere. Wisdom cries aloud. It's in the public square. It's on the top of the wall. The city gate, wherever you look, wherever you go, wisdom's all around. And I've heard people say, no one ever tells me anything. There's no wisdom. There's an old saying that when the pupil is ready, the teacher will arrive. See, Solomon says there's wisdom everywhere. So you weren't raised with the wisest of people. Maybe your circle of friends isn't the wisest of people. There's wisdom everywhere. And she calls out. Look at verse 22. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? He said, how long are you going to do this? How long are you going to be a fool? Another year? How long are you going to be simple? Come on, who of us have been simple and you pretended to be simple when you really did understand right and wrong? Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I guess I missed that one. I guess I'm simple. No, you're not. You knew better. I'm trying to get you asked the better question. What's the wise thing for me to do? It's all around. And you mockers, how long are you going to be that way? How long are you going to drive everybody nuts? How long are you going to make your children miserable? By criticizing everything they do. Church leaders, how long do you have to put yourself on a pedestal and make yourself better than everybody else? God help us. God help us. He said, how long are you going to be that way? And look at verse 23. Repent at my rebuke. He says, there's going to have to be some change going on. Repent means to really turn around. Stop doing this. Start doing that. There's going to have to be some change. Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts on you. I will make known to you my teachings. You learn to ask a better question. He says, if you'll stop, if you'll turn, if you'll repent, if you'll bring some change into your life, then you can ask the better question, and then I'll pour my thoughts out on you. It's a promise for wisdom. Look at verse 24. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rule, he says, if you refuse to develop, if you refuse to grow, if you require, you just get stuck in one of these categories. He says, if you just ignore me, if you don't take my advice, don't accept my rebuke. Verse 26, I, in turn, will laugh when disaster strikes you. Again, this is not God. God doesn't say, ha, 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 look at disaster. God is a brokenhearted father that sees you headed for disaster. And he's not laughing. I tell you what laughs is life. Somebody says, you don't break the law breaks you. The young man or young woman, the old woman insisted on doing his own thing, would not come under the regulation of anybody, lands in jail where they have no freedom. So he says, I will in turn laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm. Look at calamity overtakes you like a storm. When disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind. When distress and trouble overcome you. He says, I'm not going to be anywhere to be found. I'm not going to say, oh, let me help. No, no, no. Life says no. See, and again, this is not God. God doesn't say tough rocks. You made your bed, lay in it. But life does. You ruin your credit score, and now you can't buy a house. Do you think God is laughing? No, God's weeping over that. God was weeping when you bought the thing in the first place that you couldn't afford and caused you to get messed up. Aren't you glad you came to church and hear these encouraging words? Well, Pastor, I'm really motivated to grab the rope or something. Anyway, verse 28. Then they'll call to me, and I'm not going to answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. What it is, it's a hopeless situation. Well, I thought God could help. He does. But you can never get your 20s back again. You can never get those days when your kids were toddlers back again. Or those days when they were elementary grade. Well, you can't get your 30s and the 40s and 40s back again. I can't get my 50s back again. It's too late. What was done was done. And he said, you would not accept my advice because you didn't choose to fear the Lord. Why did you wait so long? See, I think in this life, you just can't get it back. I had a friend who was, maybe I told this story, I told it somewhere, but in the Marines. And just got done with boot camp, got home for 6 weeks or so, or a month or whatever they do, and was ready to go back, and didn't want to go back, and took a gun and shot off his big toe and the toe next to it. Because he couldn't stand to go back, and sure enough got a military discharge. Did God forgive him? Of course he did. Does God still love him? Of course he did. But that young man walked with a limp and was handicapped the rest of his life. Which actually, because of the kind of guy he was, wasn't long. So God's saying, I can't do anything with it. See, that's what I'm talking to you now when you're in the stage of life that you're in. When you've got grandkids this age that they are. I'm convinced a good time to start is now. Look at verse 30. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. It's sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. Because you wouldn't accept my advice. See, we had to say the simple, listen to us. We've got some things to say to you. We understand some things about business and about money and about relationships. We're not trying to cramp your style. We're trying to help you. But he says, since you would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they'll eat the fruit of their ways and they'll be filled with the fruit of their schemes. See, you can't undo some things. At some point, guys, you can't talk your way out of it. It is what it is. See, you can't control the outcomes. I said it last week. You pick up one end of the stick and you get the other. One end of the stick is your behavior. One end of the stick is your actions. The other end of the stick is the outcome. And when you do your behavior, you do your actions, you cannot control the outcome. And we want to say, oh, I can control it. I can take care of that. No, you get them both. And that's what Solomon's trying to get across that his daddy David talked to him about. Verse 32. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them. Man. The waywardness of the simple will kill them. See, maybe not dead as a heart attack and falling over dead, but kill them financially. Kill their relationships. Kill a business. Kill a future. Kill what could have been. The waywardness of the simple will absolutely kill them. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. Man, I hope to scare the chair right up from underneath you this morning. This is deadly stuff we're talking about. It's the loss of a season of your life. That season of young adulthood. That season of middle age, whatever that is. That season of older age, whatever that is. He says the waywardness of the simple, if you don't get out of that, it's going to kill you. If you're still being a fool at 60 years old, it'll kill you. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. But whoever listens to me, look at that promise, will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. See, I think learning to ask the better question in light of my past experience, in light of my present circumstance, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is a wise thing for me to do? I had a good friend of mine call me this week or two ago. It's been about a month ago, but called me with an investment. He said, we can do this and this and this, and why don't you take a look at it? So this last week, actually, that's Friday, I drove to the place where it was going to, you know, the investment and all that, and I looked at it, and I thought, this looks like a good deal. This looks like this could work out. And I asked myself the question, in light of my past experience, I've had good experience with that, but in light of my present circumstance, what is the wise thing for me to do? And as soon as I ask it, I said no to myself. So if you're watching me online, my friend, I'm saying no to you right now, but we'll talk later. Sorry if you logged in here. No. Is it a sin? No. Is it a bad deal? Probably not. But for me, what's the wise thing for me to do? And I don't want to do that. Oh, so it's crooked. Not at all. So you couldn't make any money? No, not at all. It's not the wise thing for me to do. He's a generation younger, and I hope he does it. But he can do it without me. So that's the better question. If you're simple, there's nothing wrong with that. We all are foolish to an extent. I spoke about this last night. Met a lady out in the lobby. She says, nice sermon, Pastor. She says, I'm a fool. I said, oh, well. I said, you didn't hear that from me. And sure enough, she probably is. Anyway, it's round 34. You know what I'm saying. It's whatever. And if you're listening, you probably won't listen again. And I didn't use your name anyway. And no one will know that it is Susie. No. Put the closing screen up there, please, Austin. So what's the deal? Mockers, humble yourself. You may be the smartest person in the room. You might be the brightest crayon in the box. You might be. But you're going to alienate yourself, and you're going to continue to recycle the mess that you're in as long as you're mocking. Fools, start caring. If you're a fool, start caring, start listening. And if you're simple, but you're not going to get there on your own. Play the cute little video, and I hope you're not offended so you can't hear anything. But the truth of it is, you're not dumb. The most innovative generation that we've seen, with much, much, much to offer. But you are not going to get there by yourself. You're not going to get there by yourself. There's some people around that do have some experience that would love to help, care, strengthen you. And I think it comes back to asking the better question, what's the wise thing for me to do? I think you ought to ask the Lord that. I don't know what you ought to do in your situation. I could have laid out the numbers in this investment deal that I said no to, saying no to, and it would have looked pretty good. Yeah, you ought to do that. That's the numbers are there, and they are. But in light of my present circumstance and where I want to be 5, 10, 20 years from now, no, that's not what I want to get involved in. what's the wise thing for me to do? So maybe you're here and you're not walking with Jesus. What do you mean by that? It means that you and the Lord do not have this personal relationship going on. You may be a Christian, and that you've invited Jesus into your heart, and you did it when you were 10 or 30 or 10 and 30. But you know you're not walking with the Lord today. And as I'm talking, we all hear ourselves in these different things. And this is not just a lesson in how not to be a fool, a mocker, and simple your whole life. It is really a lesson on how to open your life to Christ. And say, Lord, help me. Lord, I want to walk with you. And so if I'm talking to you, and you've never really opened your life to Christ, or haven't in a long, long time, I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to do that this morning. I'm going to pray in just a minute. And when I pray, why don't you tell the Lord, and however you would say it, however you would come across it, and tell the Lord, Lord, I need you. I'm opening my life to you today. From this day forward, Lord, here I am. Why don't you pray that? If you will, the Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. Whoever will invite him in, he'll come. Why don't you do that this morning? Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these, your people. Lord, for those that are even now inviting you into their life, that are saying yes to you, either for the first time or the first time in a long time. Lord, that you would help us. Lord, to just pause and ask the better question, what is the wise thing for me to do? Bless and honor your people. I pray that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Scripture this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 40. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth, or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right, or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. We serve a mighty God. Thanks for coming, guys. Hope to see you next Sunday morning. God bless. Consider yourselves dismissed.